Hi, Stephanie and Jeremy. I'm calling with my answer to how RVing has changed our family. But first, I want to thank you for providing my family with such great information through your various platforms and creating such an inclusive and friendly RV community. I'm pretty nervous about leaving this, so bear with me. So here goes. I'm Jill Avery from Maine. RVing has changed our family life tremendously. My husband's son and I bought a travel trailer a year and a half ago for a 5-week cross-country road trip. We had no idea how it would go, but quickly realized we loved traveling together, being in a small space, and having our home away from home with us. Since our adventure, we have simplified life more and focused on adventures more than stuff. The best part of RVing is using our RV to live out of so that we can be in nature and explore new places. We are creating memories together and being inspired to push ourselves outside of our comfort zones. Our why is to have as much time together as possible without distractions while our son is still home and we have time to show him new experiences. We love camping and are already planning this summer's trip to Canada to check out Gray's Island and headquarters. Thanks so much. Bye.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at rvfta.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about the challenges and rewards of solo parent RV travel. There are a lot of reasons why folks might want to hit the road as a solo parent. Some have complicated work schedules that make it hard for the whole family to travel together. Some want to spend one-on-one quality time with the kids, and some are full-time single parents determined to have amazing adventures despite the additional hurdles.
We've been lucky enough to spend some time over the years with Ann Kennedy at the Florida RV Super Show, and boy, has she been an inspiration to us. Ann travels with her two kids in a Class B motorhome and doesn't let the word can't enter her vocabulary. She's here to encourage anyone who needs an extra boost of confidence for those solo parenting trips.
You might think it's too overwhelming and complicated to have an RV adventure as a solo parent, but we know there are amazing folks like Ann out there making it happen. You are listening to episode number 217, Tips for Solo Parent RV Travel with Ann Kennedy.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, Tips for Solo Parent RVing with Ann Kennedy, it's time for our latest camping activity that we are going to recommend in our brand new opening segment for the spring season. But before we do that, we need to thank our sponsors. A big thank you to Jayco, to Thetford, to Jellystone, and to Truma.
And also a big thank you to Bass Pro and Cabela's. They have everything you need to get into the great outdoors with your family. And for our opening segment on this episode, we're going to talk about fishing. And I have to be honest, you know, one of the very first experiences with just how well Cabela's and Pro and Bass Pro can help you, you know, somebody who's not educated about an outdoor activity, just get the education they need and get the gear they need in an affordable, practical way to start a new adventure. I really think about our fishing experiences and, you know, our kids wanted to fish. We'll talk about it more in the episode, and we didn't really have a lot of background on it. And those outfitters at Cabela's got us set.
And fishing is like, so many people learn to fish from like a mom or a dad that fishes and just sort of gets like handed down genetically. But if you're just learning to fish, it is a little bit intimidating getting all the gear and getting everything you need. But if you are that absolute novice and you walk into a Cabela's or a Bass Pro, you're going to get really terrific help.
Yeah, the outfitters are going to give you the best equipment for your level, and then you're not going to break the bank, which is something that's really important to me. Now, you can outfit your next great family camping adventure at BassPro.com and Cabela's.com. It's in your nature.
All right. Now, Stephanie and I never really grew up fishing. I mean, my brother did, my grandfather did, my father did, but didn't really get passed on to me for whatever reason. I think the same is true of you. But since we started camping a lot with young kids, people are always fishing all the time. And the boys just sort of stumbled into it because we were camping with our friends, Ashley and Joe. Joe fished. And every time we'd go to a campground, other kids were fishing.
Yeah.
So the boys wanted to fish.
That was, I mean, they were as little as two when at a lot of campgrounds, there's catch and release, lakes, ponds, or streams and rivers and stuff. And I remember one of our first earliest weekend getaway trips was always to a nearby KOA, and there was a little dock down there for fishing, and our boys would just always see the other kids fishing. And they started saying, we want to do that. We want to do that. And we had absolutely, you know, very little experience with it. But, you know, our boys were probably 3 years old at the time when I kind of fell in love with the fact that they wanted to fish. I've never fallen in love with fishing, but I fell in love with the fact they wanted to fish because, you know, it's this very quiet, slow type of activity. And our boys it would hold their attention for longer than almost anything else would.
3 to 4 hours fishing, like no problem. I mean, we don't play catch for 3 or 4 hours right. at a time.
It's just a great way to spend time together.
Right. I love that, like, we all just sort of settled down and would relax when we do it. And I also love the fact that it wasn't about leaving the campground, right? So many activities, like get in the car and go somewhere. This was like a way to relax at a lot of campgrounds in the morning or in the evening. And when we had our seasonal site, this was one of their very favorite things to do at our seasonal campground. They would ask every single time we were there to go out and fish. So I think it's really worth it if you're just starting your RVing adventure or if your kids are growing up a little bit to think about adding this into your RVing, you know, adventures, because our kids love it. And it's not because we love it and because we've taught them to love it. They just really have responded to it.
And once you make that initial investment into some basic gear, and you can keep it really simple when the kids are little, it's a pretty cheap hobby. I mean, it's basically free most of the time.
Right. So that's, I think, the first of our beginning tips is just buy the cheap, you know, Spider-Man fishing pole at first when they're 3, 4 years old. Don't go, you know, over the top. Keep it really simple. And then if it sticks, upgrade when they're ready. Like our boys probably at the age of 7 were ready for, they wanted real fishing poles and they were ready to use them. And so we upgraded, you know, to give them something good.
And they each wanted sort of their own tackle box. You know, they each wanted their own little setup. So it wasn't just like the family gear.
Yeah. And we got them that. We got them a little tackle box with the right appropriate stuff in it for the type of fish we were getting, the sunnies and stuff at the campground. And then we also kind of tried to train them to do the icky parts. Like for a while there, it's like Jeremy and I were like, you know, the servants, like,
well,
we're
that was
mom.
Hard when they were really little. Yeah. Because like I wanted to fish too. I was like getting excited by it. And I really couldn't fish myself because I was just like their support guy.
Helping them. Yeah. Right. So early on, really try to get them comfortable with the worms or the bait or whatever you're using, with getting the fish off the hook.
Unhooking the fish.
Unhooking the fish, because that's what
major,
you'll do.
Major victory when the kids can start doing that.
Yes, exactly. Number three, you really learned how to do a lot of the knots on YouTube, right? You just went online.
Just like anything these days. I mean, you can learn how to do anything on YouTube, and there's just really great little videos on how to tie the knots, all of the basic stuff. Yeah. So at, you know, 38, 39 years old, I was watching YouTube videos on how to fish, and it was really helpful.
Next, I would say look for campgrounds that have those great catch and release ponds, right?
That are well stocked.
That are really well stocked. And sometimes that's in the note, in the review.
And a shout out to the Cleveland Streetsboro KOA, which is like the most well stocked fishing pond in the history of campgrounds. The boys each caught like 45 fish there.
We couldn't drag them. We couldn't even see Cleveland.
They would catch something.
They didn't even care about Cleveland because they were too busy catching.
Why go to Cleveland when you've got the Cleveland Streetsboro KOA and their well stocked fishing pond?
Everything after that place was a disappointment, though, for
that's it did ruin them that summer. They were like, oh, we only caught 10 today.
Yeah, exactly. You know, our next tip is really try to look at this as a good activity for either like a one-on-one bonding activity, like to really spend some quality time with one of your kids, or a great group activity. Because we've done both of those, and it's a really nice way, like at the seasonal, for a bunch of kids to spend time together.
And with fishing or with any of these great activities that we're recommending, I'd like to share a little wisdom here if I could. It might be that one of your kids likes it more than the others. And like, that's okay. And it's important to encourage the one that wants to do it. And if another one doesn't want to do it, that's fine too. Don't ever have the attitude that like every member of the family must love all hobbies equally. Like, it's just, that's not reality.
Right. And then the last tip that I would give you is listen to our RVFTA episode, Fishing 101, with Brandon Polinick, because he was so inspiring to me. Like, I loved his story, but I loved his message of keeping it like easy and simple for kids and really just enjoy enjoying it and, you know, the magic of fishing. And I feel like he brought that to the episode.
He was awesome. That was a terrific episode. I mean, he's a major, major player in the fishing world right now, which is like competitive fishing is not something we know a ton about. So he was so graceful.
Big.
He's huge. Follow him on Instagram. He was so graceful to come on our show and talk to our listeners and get them inspired to go out and go fishing.
Yeah, so give it a try this year if you haven't yet. The campground offers so many opportunities. So many of them do. So you don't have to go far. You don't have to search it out. You don't have to make a big investment. And you can really kind of find an activity that you can enjoy outside as a family.
All right, we have a special interview coming up with, you know, a member of the RVFTA community, somebody we have met in person, somebody that's very active in our Facebook group, and that's Ann Kennedy. And Ann has just kind of been inspiring us over the couple of years we've been getting to know her a little bit, because she is a solo parent who takes her two kids RVing. And she's got such a wonderful attitude about it. She's got great tips to share. And this is really one of my favorite interviews we've ever done.
I know. Anne has had a special place in my heart. Even though I don't know her well, her story really resonated with me from the first time I ever heard it. And I'm so happy to be sharing that story with the rest of our community, because I just know it will inspire some other people. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Ann Kennedy, and we're going to be talking about tips for solo parent RVing. And I'm just particularly excited about this topic because I know that for some people out there listening, this could become the most important episode of RVFTA ever and the most valuable episode for them. So we're going to dive into that interview with Ann in a second. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
I happen to think that if you're thinking about taking a camping trip as a solo parent, a Jellystone would be a pretty good place to start. I mean, that's just when I was kind of thinking through this episode. I think that all the family fun is right there. It's planned. It's organized. You can truly just kick back and enjoy spending time with your kids and not have to worry about a lot of the logistics of travel, like getting places. So, you know, you can start the day off with Yogi and friends, spend time at the pool, the water slides at some Jellystone
Park. Organized activities.
Yes.
Organized activities.
And it's not all on you, right?
Yeah.
You can get those themed weekend activities in. And then what I was really thinking about is like the picnic basket, you know, at the Yogi Bears, where you can go up, you can maybe order the hamburgers for lunch or whatever and not have to cook and clean up. So like for me, when I'm on my own and you're working away, like keeping it easy and fun is, you know, my particular recipe. So think about a Jellystone if you're thinking about going on a solo trip with your kids. Remember, it's not just a campground, it's a Jellystone. And now is the time to book for a summer season. So go to jellystonepark.com and make a reservation at a Jellystone Park near you. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm so excited. Welcome to the show, Claspy Ann.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for all of our listeners out there, the reason why I just welcomed her as Claspy Ann is because that is how I remembered her from social media when I first met you at Tampa at the Super Show. And I guess when you introduced yourself to me, I said, oh, you're Claspy Ann.
When we meet our podcast listeners.
I couldn't believe
listeners.
You remembered some comment that I'd made randomly at some point.
No, absolutely. I pay attention to people that are traveling in Class Bs with their kids. It definitely gets my curiosity up.
When we meet our podcast listeners, we will probably remember your names. We will definitely remember your rigs.
Yeah, exactly. It goes right up. So, Ann, I've been wanting to do this episode with you for a while because I know that if somebody inspires me, they're likely to inspire a big part of our audience. And you have your story to me is so inspirational. So thanks for agreeing to come on and share it with everybody.
Oh, thanks for making me justify the time to kind of write it down and document it too. It makes me feel good when you do that.
All right. So let's like go back to the beginning, like not when you were born, but the beginning of this very unique journey of both solo parenting and RVing. First came solo parenting. So why don't you just kind of tell our audience a little bit about your story about becoming a mom?
Sure. Sure, absolutely. So I always had great friends and great families, but I was never very good at dating, I guess. And so on my 38th birthday, a friend from high school and I were having lunch, and I was saying, you know, if I'm still single when I'm 40, I might just, you know, grab a couple of kids and get on with it. And she just looked at me and she goes, well, why wait? And at first, you know, I say, gosh, there's a million reasons why, you know, I should wait, which I'm sure most parents do. But then I couldn't really come up with a good answer. I mean, I was 38. So I started taking foster parenting classes and went through a series of trial and error, but eventually became a foster parent with the city of Richmond, Virginia, and had a great experience with them. And one day on Friday afternoon at 3:35, I get a call that there's a one-year-old boy and a four-year-old girl that would be mine on Sunday. But I said, can you at least give me till Monday? Because I had to suddenly childproof my house, buy car seats, and do all of that. And 18 months later, I was able to adopt them. So although no adoption ever starts in a happy place, I feel like the three of us are really lucky we found each other.
Anne, you just went through a whole lot of emotional information, and I'm trying to digest all this. I want to ask you
about... I'm here to make you cry.
I know, and it is. I get so teared up.
For some reason, I just want to ask you about the classes. Did that increase your confidence? Did that make you feel like it was a more challenging thing ahead of you? I mean, how did that go?
The answer is yes.
Yes and yes.
I'm a person who always, like, I'd rather know. But, you know, when they start, you know, I applied for a pair of kids in Ohio, I remember, and there's a 4-page checklist where I'm supposed to say, am I kind of okay, very okay, or not okay with microcephaly, or, you know, all these different things. And I swear if they give, you know, birth parents a choice, it would make you question having children.
Yes. The more information you have about parenting, the more likely you are to run and run far.
Isn't that the truth? And all the things that could possibly happen, you know. But honestly, at the end of the day, I've always just loved kids, and I never thought I was going to be a perfect mom anyway. And in this case, I did learn after they came to my house that I was not okay with the things I thought I'd be okay with. You know, some of the when children move from one home to another, even in the best of situations, that's a trauma in and of itself, and so they're going to kind of have some trauma memory, and they're going to kind of crawl back into that amygdala in their brain, and it's going to be fight or flight, and it's just not going to be the way you grew up, you know? So there's a lot of stuff I thought I'd be cool with and be fine, and it was actually kind of scary, but it's so, you know, we're all going to be okay. Everything's fine.
Now, Anne, you said that they were 1 and 4 when you adopted them, or when you first fostered them. How old are they now?
They are 11 and 8.
All right.
11-year-old girl and 8-year-old boy.
So you've had quite the journey together. And so somewhere along the way, RVing came into that journey. You weren't a previous RVer and camper, right?
No, I mean, we tent camped. You know, you pop up a tent in the backyard. And, you know, my son always loves to pee on a tree every chance he gets an opportunity. So that's kind of like camping.
We have one of those, too.
Or three.
Or three.
Four.
Maybe four.
Oh, that was just... And so when I had an opportunity in 2016, I was working at the electric company in Virginia. I'd been there for 11 years, and all of a sudden they were reducing managers, and I had a chance to volunteer for a severance package. And it was around April, and so you think ahead to the summertime, and, you know, as a single parent, being able to spend time with your kids is kind of a rarity, you know. And so I volunteered for that severance package. And then some things on my list is I really wanted to see Niagara Falls. I'd always wanted to see that. And we had some relatives that hadn't met my children yet, some of whom could not travel. You know, my dad's sister was in an assisted living home outside of Albany. And so I started, you know, putting all my lists together, and I just couldn't figure out how to get it done. I don't like to drive. I certainly don't like to drive for long periods of time. And the train is, I love the train, but you have to stop when they stop, and you still have to carry all your gear with you. And I just couldn't figure out how I was going to get this trip done with, at that time, a 5-year-old and 8-year-old. And, I was in a parking lot, and I saw, am I allowed to say the brand?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. I saw Cruise America RV in the parking lot. And I thought, that is the coolest thing I have ever seen in my entire life. It had never occurred to me to do an RV trip. And I just kind of thought that's something you do after you retire. And I thought, oh, I've always loved the idea of it, but I never thought I'd be able to do it. And I certainly didn't know you could rent. So when I started looking into it, I got super excited about the idea of being able to take all of our stuff with us and the kids being able to nap wherever we are, whenever they want to, and having, you know, fresh food in the fridge, and all of that kind of thing was really exciting to me.
Now, were you very confident at that point? I mean, as a mom, I mean, were you just feeling like I've got a lot of this down and let's go for this plunge and get an RV, or was this a bit of a nerve-wracking decision to move in that direction?
Well, I don't mean to take your metaphor literally, but honestly, plunging was the scariest part. But I guess that's scary for everybody. I was just like, how am I going to do the poop tank? I've got two. Traveling was kind of something we'd already gotten to do a couple times together. And I don't know, Jeremy, I think that just when you're with your kids, you're okay. As long as you're in a position where you're able to keep them safe, then you're going to be okay.
You know, Anne, I think that when you were kind of communicating your story to us and walking through some of the most important points, it's very interesting to me that you really, you know, look at the fact that you are a solo parent as one of the reasons that you ended up RVing, that you were kind of trying to figure out the logistics of your unique situation. And that kind of led you to be interested in an RV in a way that you feel like you might not have otherwise.
That is 100% true. That is definitely true.
Yeah, I find that so,
you know, there's a very strong chance I would have chosen another way to take that trip if I had a partner with me.
So what happened when you actually went RVing?
So we did it.
And we're talking renting still at this point, the first time?
And a lot of it's just not knowing. But as you know, some of our best decisions in life are because we don't know enough. I know my first house was, I got lucky with that. But I think that I saw that truck and I went on their website and I watched their 26-minute video, you know, a few times on exactly how do you do this. And because I was being paid to take time off, I didn't mind justifying the expense a little bit. And it just sounded awesome. And so, we pulled the trigger on an 11-day trip from Richmond, Virginia, up through Jersey, New York City, over through Albany, over to Niagara Falls, and then back through Pittsburgh and down that way.
So did Niagara Falls live up to your expectations?
It lived up to mine, but my kids were like, that's it.
Oh, no, those kids.
But how did they feel about the whole trip in general, though? Like, what was their attitude about this 11-day RV rental?
They loved every single minute of it. I mean, it was sensational to them. They thought it was hilarious. They loved the little dog in the window. You know, it was like this great game that they, you know, not like you couldn't see the car in the Walmart parking lot, but it, you know, just being able to say, there's our dog. I see it first. You know, they named him.
Everybody listening that doesn't know, Cruise America has these decals on the outside of their rentals. And one of the decals is a decal of a dog hanging out of the window. So that's what Anne's kids fell in love with on this trip.
And it's so silly, but we missed him. Like, we were like, bye, dog. You know, this two-dimensional dog that's stuck to the window is, a, you know, as obnoxious a decal as it could possibly be. But, like, every time you come back to the RV, he was waiting there for you.
But he became a symbol of the trip and the freedom of the road. And that's the attraction, probably.
You're getting a little deeper than we did, but you're absolutely right. We're all on vacation, right?
Nailed it. Yeah, we're going to have to make somebody a nudge at Cruise America and let them listen to this episode and let them know that, first of all, having their name plastered over the sides of all their rentals is obviously a really good idea because it got you as a customer. And second of all, the dogs are definitely important part of their marketing.
I listened to your recent episode on renting and I was like, you mean there are people out there who don't want the decal? That's really interesting.
Yeah, right.
We've heard that a lot.
You guys definitely connected.
So next step, I mean, you go on this 11-day RV trip. You have a lot of fun. The kids have a lot of fun. And where do you go from there as a future RV owner? I mean, what was your next step?
Well, so that was it. It was successful. And then that was supposed to be the end, right? So that was also sometime during that summer, I decided, my mom lives in Florida, my sister lives in Florida, I decided at some point that this is the opportunity to get paid to move to Florida. So we decided to move to Tampa that same year. And then, you know, life kind of took over. So the RV thing didn't come up again until, you know, you move to a state where nothing needs to be winterized. And you kind of say to yourself, wow.
So how long after that moment after that trip, I should say, to Niagara Falls, how long after that trip did you start to actually shop for an RV?
1 year.
Okay.
Oh, it didn't take that long at all.
That wasn't that long. It didn't be too far back in the background.
In some ways, like, Tampa is like one of the RV capitals of the United States. I mean, obviously there's like Elkhart, Indiana, but when you're in Tampa, like, that's, you're just surrounded by RVs, and Lazy Day is there, and the Super Show is there. So I'm picturing you guys seeing RVs all the time and remembering that fun trip.
Now, were your kids?
That's exactly right.
Were your kids like going, "Hey, Mom, can we do another trip like that? We missed the RV." They were. Okay, so they were part of this equation too.
They were.
Now,
and
like
so
I
we, and I don't want to get too much into that next part, but we would go to the cabins at the Madeira KOA out in St. Pete, and they'd say, "Gosh, I wish we had our RV." You know, I mean, the cabins are fun, and we're always going to be campers, but it was we definitely. We're nostalgic about that experience.
All right. So as our listeners know, because I gave it away, you ended up with a Class B. Now we're going to come back in a minute and we're going to kind of walk through that shopping journey so everybody can hear why you decided that a Class B was the best, you know, RV for you and your two kids.
I'm giddy with excitement.
I know. The suspense is killing us. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are just giddy with excitement to be back again with Ann Kennedy. And now she's going to talk about the big Class B RV purchase. But before we do that, we do have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. If you're planning on camping anywhere without sewer hookups this upcoming year, you will definitely want a Smart Tote 2 LX, which, and I think that if you have a Class B with hardly any tank size, you'll want one of those
right?
I know you're gonna. Well, you can like strap it to the roof or to the ladder on the back, right? I've seen them strapped to the ladder on the back. The auto stop level gauge prevents messy overfilling, and the handle hooks onto the trailer hitch for easy towing to the dump station. You can get an 18, 27, or 35 gallon models. We like the 27. You can go to Thetford.com for more information or follow the links in the show notes.
They should make like a 3 gallon version for Class B owners.
For Class B owners, yeah. little tiny
it'd be like a backpack you could just put on and walk to the dump station. And
right,
I'm so excited to talk to you about buying your Class B.
Well, the reason why I think this is a particularly important segment for this episode is because I think that if you are regularly looking to travel, or if you just are going to travel as a solo parent on RV trips, I think that rig choice is probably even more important.
Oh my gosh.
Than at any other time.
I mean, there's not that spotter, that second set of eyes. And we look, Stephanie and I have been doing RV shows all winter, and we keep coming back to telling people that it can be wise to keep the RV a little smaller, you know, because we see all these 40-foot monsters at the RV shows. And I think Stephanie's so right. So what brought you to that point where you settled on a Class B? How did you get there?
Okay, well, you know, like you were saying in the last episode, you know, we got bit by the bug, and the kids were continuously asking, you know, and seeing the Robin Williams movie doesn't help, you know. Everywhere you look, there's a big rolling turd, and it was really something that we wanted to do. So how did I justify it, basically? number one, I think like any of us, you know, when I'm at home, I don't feel like I spend enough time with my kids that I'm not distracted, you know, whether it's by the dishes or by work or something that needs to be done. I feel like it helps to get away from your physical home to be able to look your kids in the eye and really listen to them, you know, when they're talking.
And even more so, Anne, with you, because you're doing it all. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, a little bit, yeah. So I guess since to a certain degree, maybe I have less of the total amount of time to do that. Yeah, I'm really fearful in this episode of sounding like a martyr because I really don't want to sound
You're a
like
hero. No, you're not a martyr. You're a hero.
You're like anybody out there with God. Anyone out there that has been making excuses about taking their kids camping, like get over it after listening to this episode.
Yeah,
please.
I mean, I'm just saying that you have even more on your plate because, like, I can at least be like, Jeremy, get the dishwasher unloaded. You know, you don't have anybody to yell at like that. You're like, I got to do it all, and so you even must have more of a running list of things in your head that have to get done. So. Isn't it the case that even more so you do need a disconnect? You do need a change of scenery, something that's not reminding you of your endless to-do list.
Yeah, it's that. And it's also, you know, I can't be the good cop and the bad cop with my kids. And I sometimes feel like I spend more time being bad cop and I don't want to be bad cop. I want to be the fun parent too. And so, yeah, you try to take the time where you're like, put it on the calendar or that's it. We're getting in the car and we're going to do this. And so in Virginia, we were tent campers, as I mentioned before. And so in Florida, you've got this situation where everything's beautiful. You know, we were new to Florida, so we wanted to visit different places, but it's really humid here, really sticky and hot, and there are really weird animals. So nothing ever freezes. So you have these red ants, and you have lots of snakes, and you have lots of stuff that you just don't want to take a chance of getting in your tent. At least I didn't want
to. And all those weird Northeasterners that retire down there.
That kind of bird.
I know. We love those guys, though. They come, they spend money down here, and they move up, and then I don't have to have a state income tax. So thank you. Thank you for doing that.
So tent camping just wasn't as enjoyable for you in the Florida region.
I mean, we did pitch it once in the backyard, but I didn't. I mean, I was scared just the unknown. I don't know what this place is here. You know, there's so many bugs and different things. And then the last thing is, you know, as you may have heard, we get storms down here. So the idea of having something with a generator was also really appealing. You know, if something happened with the house, you know, we would have a generator to make electricity with an RV.
Now, you also said that you felt that packing and the whole getting ready for a trip really was pushing you to look at buying an RV instead of doing just the tenting adventures.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit better as my kids get older, as you know, but early on, packing is daunting, and it just takes time. You know, it takes time to do it right, and it takes time to plan out what you're going to do. And so the idea of having a vehicle in the driveway that already had our toothbrushes and our raincoats and groceries, non-perishable groceries. and then all we had to do was pack up basically the same stuff we'd pack if we were going to a hotel, was really appealing, you know, just owning an RV so that I could do that. I mean, I've heard you guys talk about renting, and I've rented. And renting is great. And there's definitely, especially with the destinations that you guys choose, it's awesome. But it's a lot to pack to rent as mm-hmm. well.
Yep, so, absolutely.
And you've mastered it with the instant groceries and all of the kinds of stuff that you do. But it's really just when you own one and it's in your driveway. And in our case, you just have to turn the key and we can go anywhere we want. And a lot of times it's just for the day. You know, this past weekend, my son had two lacrosse games in Clearwater, which is just 30 minutes west of us here. And I was like, well, gosh, if we're going to Clearwater, then we're going to Honeyman State Park. You know, we're not going to not go there. And so we just brought the RV to his lacrosse games and then spent the afternoon in the state park and, you know, could get changed and desand and do whatever we needed to do and come home.
Now, did you look at other types of RVs before settling on a B, or did you just go right to the Class B?
It didn't take too long. So we have a little Mazda 5, which is like a mini minivan. Which is great for us, but it's not a tow vehicle, obviously. So we would have been one of those families that's in a situation where you're buying two cars. You touched on a lot of it, backing up and all of that kind of, any kind of towable, I just wasn't comfortable with. I thought that'd be a little bit over my head, especially since it was our first time. And then safety. So I think Stephanie's mentioned this before, but when we arrive at a campground at night on Friday nights, usually, we don't have to, you know, do anything. We could just go right to sleep. So
I think that's such a big deal for a solo parent traveler to feel like you're self-contained, because most of the time, I mean, I could count on one hand the number of times I felt at all unsafe when we've been RVing. But a couple of those times, I would not have wanted to get out of the car, you know, or the truck or the tow vehicle. So I think being self-contained is nice.
Even hitching and unhitching in the dark, you know, when the kids were little, I just so relied on you, Stephanie, to keep them away.
Right.
Just keep them 20 feet away, because I'm unhitching a gigantic RV and at least I had the perception of danger.
So what other, you know, considerations point at you in the direction of the bay?
Well, one of them is we wanted to be outside as much as possible. We didn't want to be that comfortable. You know, it wasn't supposed to be a hotel. You know, it's supposed to be a way to get outside and get to the campground. Also, you know, I was new in my neighborhood. It was something I could easily park in my driveway. You've heard people say these kinds of things before. And it's also a substitute family vehicle. If each of the kids has more than one friend, then we could just strap them on into the RV and go in pretty much anywhere we need to. The last two reasons were pretty simple. For some reason, this was really important to me. I have AAA, and I really wanted to be able to be towed if I got stuck. And I'd seen some situations where larger rigs or somebody, if you had a trailer, it's easy to maybe disconnect your trailer and then take your vehicle somewhere. But if something happened in the car, I was hoping that it would be a little faster and easier for them to tow a Class B.
That's not a silly consideration at all.
It's not easy to tow a travel trailer. We've had a travel years ago when we had a blowout in Rhode Island. I mean, we had our travel trailer towed off the road.
And I think they had to go and they had to get a special.
Yeah, it was a big
I think it's very, super smart to think about making this as simple and streamlined as possible.
And then also the maintenance part of it, too, in terms of it just taking it to a car dealership or whatever. But I don't want to jump ahead too much.
All right. So
was definitely it.
Yeah. So you decided you wanted the B, and then where did you go from there? I know you probably heard the episode with Lauren, who decided to custom fit one for her family, and you decided to go in another direction.
I did. I loved that episode. I enjoyed it. And so many of her reasons for a B were exactly the same. And, you know, obvious one is driving and parking and things like that. But I'm just a little nervous when it comes to money. I never in my life have invested that much money in things that depreciate. You know, I don't mind slapping a bunch of money into my house if I think it's going to appreciate. But I've got, you know, my Mazda has 155,000 miles on it. You know, I just don't put a lot of money into things that go down in value. So I knew that this was not going to be an investment. So it was really a matter of how much am I willing to spend for all those reasons I just gave you, so I decided to go use.
Now, you also were kind of wondering about the longevity of this particular family obsession, right, of RVing.
That's true. That's right. So when I bought it, I still had it was a 6 and 9 year old at that time, I guess. I don't know if their birthdays had happened or not. So I was kind of looking like this is probably like a 5 year thing max, you know, we're going to outgrow it or they're not going to want to do it, or we're going to have those kinds of activities that it's hard to get out of on a weekend. And so, that's the other reason. That's right. I didn't want it to depreciate as soon as you drive it off the lot, even though obviously it's appealing to have everything working immediately.
So used bees are not easy to find. I mean, where did this journey take you to find this bee, and what did you get?
It took me back to 1997, Jeremy.
Oh, that was a good year.
It was a very good year. It was, you know, RVT and Craigslist and all kinds of things. I drove a road trek that just wasn't quite in my budget, but I know that road treks are really a much nicer quality. So I was like, all right, well, here's my budget, and let me just assume, rather than hiring an inspector for $800 or something, let me just assume I'm going to have to put $3,000 into it. So this is my bottom line, the top that I would pay for this vehicle, for this type of activity that we're going to use it for. And so we found one on Craigslist.
So what'd you find? Tell us all about it.
Okay, so we found Kimber Blue Mountain Lion. I know that that's not the name that you would have maybe picked immediately. So Kimber was the name of the previous owner, and Blue was my son's contribution, and Mountain Lion was my daughter's contribution. So that is the name of our 1997 Coachman M19, which is 19 feet long, RD, rear dinette.
All right. And it's on a Ford, the chassis, right? The Ford chassis?
Yes. Okay. That's right. It's an Econoline basically underneath. And so it's a 1996 Ford with the, you know, vintage 1997 RV.
All right. Now tell me, where does everybody sleep?
We don't. No, I'm just kidding. If I get together enough to remember to put the cargo carrier on the hitch and keep all of our stuff back there, then my son's in the rear dinette, my daughter's in this cab over bunk, and I'm on the couch.
Okay, so you've got the cab over bunk, which probably makes this a...
That's got to be a right. big helper for you guys.
How special is that? To have a bee with a cab over bunk makes a huge difference.
Pretty unusual. Really,
well, right, I almost feel like that's what like a lot of people might take away from this episode, is that if you're looking for a bee with kids, that might be really the direction you want to go in.
That's right. And if you know, you're nervous about, you know, investing in a brand new one, and if all the other reasons work for you, it is good. Now, I have to say, this is, I believe in my personal comfort zone, I don't know if a couple could sleep together very easily in this vehicle. It's hard for me to, I have climbed up over the bunk before. It's not easy for me to do that. And because it's a 1997 with the couch that kind of folds into a bed, someone's always going to get the bad side of that bed, right?
Right. The wrong side.
And I would the wrong side, exactly. So, and I'm, you know, 5'9", so it's comfortable for me because I'm single, I think.
What else do you love about it? And is there like anything about it that kind of drives you crazy?
Yes. So, you know, it had Michelin tires. We test drove it over the Sunshine Skyway and it did really well. It didn't stink. And then my mechanic agreed to service it again, because like what you mentioned, Jeremy, it's a van. So it just fit us really, really well. And, you know, there's lots of things that we still love about it. You know, we've probably over invested in the Onan generator at this point, but we've definitely used it when the AC went out on the house, or Hurricane Irma was a big, that was exciting, a spontaneous 8-day trip to Alabama. But
what a terrific use for that, though. I mean, that's amazing, actually.
Yeah, that you had something there to use during that time.
You got a bug-out vehicle.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
We could do a whole episode on that. That was pretty exciting.
Well, maybe we will one day,
Anne.
Maybe we will. You just invited yourself back on the show, and we're going to take that. We're going to say, let's do it. I would love that. Oh, my gosh, what a great episode that would be. So anything else that's quirky or anything else that just really works perfectly?
So quirkiness. This kind of reminds me of your campground nobody's perfect section, right? The number one thing is storage. There's zero storage in this vehicle. It's fine for us because we mainly get away on weekends. But there is no basement, and every single inch of the inside is someone's bed, right? So if we bring bikes and they're on the hitch, then the tub with the sewer hoses goes in the rear dinette, right?
Okay, and right. You're making a decision for everything.
Yeah, there's a trade-off. Exactly. We had to pack up in the rain on a Sunday one time, and you know, I just forced the children to stay inside while I packed everything up, because going in and out while it was muddy, you know, we have carpet because it's, you know, 1997, they had carpet. but you do learn some tricks with the storage. So the two things that we do now is I bring the tent with us and we use it as a garage. So every time we unpack, we put all of our bikes and everything into there, and it gives us more space in the coach, and there's plenty of space left usually on the camp.
You're reminding me of Lauren's episode where she called her Class B a camping support vehicle.
Right.
Right. You're not doing exactly what she was talking about, but the idea of just having that tent in mm-hmm. a B is probably super useful.
I agree. And then there's, you know, you find things like I found that 3 1-gallon jugs of water fit perfectly in our microwave. And so you just figure it out over time. The other thing that was hard was having to wait to use it because it was used. So the kids were dying to go on a trip, and we couldn't go on a trip for probably a month and a half because I wanted to get it to the RV medic, who is a great place here in Tampa, to get the CO2 and the LP monitors changed out and make sure that they were brand new. Plus, I wanted to have everything kind of looked over, and RV places are hard to get into spontaneously, especially in Florida, I think. And then I have a mechanic, you know, I wanted the mechanic to check out the vehicle, obviously, as well.
Did you spend that $3,000 you had budgeted to, you know, to do repairs and whatnot, or was it in pretty solid shape?
Yeah, I did. And then I've spent more since then. So
love it. So, let's be really honest about this. How do you feel about the money that you spent on this looking back and just the rig that you chose? You know, what are your general feelings about this all in bet that you made to buy an RV for you and your two kids?
Well, when I was in college, we used to have a t-shirt and it said, you can always retake a test, but you can never relive a party. And that's what I kind of think of when you ask me that question. You know, you have to just know, as long as you're not sacrificing the financial future of your family, that I imagine this happens with new ones too. There's just this temptation to overspend on accessories. You never know where to stop when it comes to maintenance of a 23-year-old coach. So you just have to be careful. And every time you take it in, there's a decision to be made and you just have to decide if it's right. So you're asking me personally, I don't regret a dollar of what we've spent on the RV. I really don't.
Let me ask you a strange,
try not to think too much either.
And that could be wise too. Let me ask you a strange question. If you could have any RV you wanted for your particular family setup, like what would be the perfect thing for you?
The exact same one you want.
Jeremy wants?
Jeremy wants the Red Hawk.
The Red Hawk. That's so funny.
And is that what you want?
That's exact. That would be perfect for us.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So we literally both want the exact same RV.
Right, and I have two less human beings, which I guess makes me more selfish than you.
No. We would be squeezing in, because the dog, remember.
We're talking the Red Hawk 31F,
right?
Yeah,
31F.
New bunkhouse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh my gosh. Maybe we could split one.
We can send it down to you for the snowbirding
season.
The
layout is very practical. The quality is pretty much, tested, tried and true. And I don't know. I think that's the one that... If it was limitless, that would be sensational.
I love it. That was not a planned moment. You shocked Jared.
I know. You totally took me by surprise. I keep running into Dan and Christine Ruiz, who are in our Facebook group at RV shows, and they want that
too.
I've been joking with them about doing a timeshare. So now we have our third member for the timeshare.
It can go down to Anne for the winter.
It would be $25,000 each, and we each get 4 months. Oh, so we'll talk after.
Jeremy's got that in his change jar. All right. Now, Anne has pulled together her tips for the solo parent traveler. We know that there are some of you out there that are full-time single parents, but then we also know that there are some of you out there who have one parent that has to work on the weekends, maybe, or that can't take vacation time, or that you just want to spend some quality time with your kids one-on-one over the years with your RV. So there's a lot of different reasons why people might find themselves in the situation of being a solo parent RV traveler. And Anne has compiled for us her top 5 tips for all of you guys who are thinking about doing this as a solo parent and having RV adventures. So she's going to come back and she's going to give us some of her hard-earned wisdom, which is the best kind. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment 3 with Anne Kennedy. And I could just go on forever. I could do 10 segments on this topic because I'm just really enjoying talking to Anne. And in this segment, she's going to give us 5 tips for solo parent RVing. And she's also going to give us some gear tips that might be really helpful to the solo parent who's RVing. But before we dive into that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Truma. And every solo parent who's RVing with kids should have endless hot water.
This is a treat yourself moment for solo parents out there. Truma has been the leading European supplier for RV accessories for over 70 years. They actually pioneered the caravan heating in Europe in 1961. I can't get over that little trivia fact. We are very lucky that they decided to come over to North America in 2015 with the fantastic and revolutionary AquaGo, which actually offers truly instant, constant, and endless hot water in your RV. Now, we've had our AquaGo for a year, and it is single-handedly, we've decided after a year, we were actually on the fence. We loved so many of our mods, but really when push came to shove, the AquaGo rose to the top.
The one they can't live without. This girl over here was all angry renting an RV in Disney World, running out of hot water.
I got so bratty. So this AquaGo can actually replace any 6 to 16-gallon RV water heater, and you definitely want to check it out. Learn more information at truma.com, or you can listen to our episode number 199, where we kind of gave our review of the whole shebang and talked to somebody from the company. All right, Anne, I'm not going to rub it in your face. I know you don't have the Truma.
Wait, I just have to say it. Truma, treat yourself.
Treat yourself. I just gave them their new tagline. All right, Anne, welcome back to the show.
College AquaGo.
I know. Or it's really more like I would say to my kids, iPhone AquaGo. You know what I mean? Like, yes, it's in the iPhone range.
And it is. And it's not that I wouldn't absolutely adore it, but I just, for my old rig, it would not work. But trust me, it's on the wish list.
Every parent should demand that their children pay for the AquaGo, actually.
Yeah, because they're the reason we need them. It's true. All right, Anne, I just gave you kind of a free open-ended question, and I was like, can you just come up with your best tips that you've learned? You know, what are the lessons you've learned over the year? And you came up with 5. So I'm excited to go through this. And your first tip resonated with us because you told everybody they really need to be weekend warriors.
Well, you know, it resonated with you, but it also originated with you. A lot of these tips I got from your website and your you know, the Facebook group, and also obviously the podcast. So some of this has nothing to do with being a single parent, but I guess that, you know, because I am one, here you go. Here's my top 5. First one, weekend warrior. Yeah. But with a minimum of 2 nights. So that's my caveat. I would say that, you know, any single parent, especially if they're working full time, which I imagine most of us are, all of your time is your family's time. So all of my vacation time at work, I work for a company where my sick and my annual vacation are combined into one. So all 3 of our doctor's appointments, all of our, you know, lacrosse practices and gymnastics and parent teacher conferences and everything, that all comes out of my vacation time. So we just don't get to take the vacations that we would really like to. So it's the weekend. So you look ahead to the month and you say, it's a possible weekend here and there. And you kind of, you know, you put it in pencil on the calendar and then you just do it. You know, you just get in the car and do it. And again, I'm lucky enough to own mine. So it's not too much prep time to put everything on the vehicle and go. You know, there's some places I can't do in a weekend, you know, so there's Destin, Florida is definitely on my list. I'm dying to go there. I would love to do the Jellystone up in Madison, but it's 3 hours away. And so for me, that's not 2 nights. You know, I need more than 2 nights to justify that trip back and forth, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to go. So I'd say probably once a month, every other month, we get in the car and we do a weekend away.
So having, you know, in terms of this being a tip for a solo parent who's considering RVing, you're just kind of having an honest kind of conversation with yourself about, like, can I do a lot of weekends? You know, that might be a really good thing to do. Like, before spending $50,000 or up or whatever it is that you spend on an RV, and that could vary for everybody, just kind of looking at a calendar and going, how often can I use this thing? And I'm so glad for you. There are lots of opportunities,
well,
and you live in a great place for it,
too.
That's
the thing, is Anne lives in Florida.
I do.
She's surrounded by great state parks, and so she can stay within that 2-hour limit or that shorter, you know, closer limit and still feel like she's getting exposed to a lot of great places, whereas for somebody else, you might think, well, would I have to drive too far to really feel satisfied, you know, with those camping experiences? So that's a great tip and something good to think about. Now, number 2, you said people should camp in the backyard.
Yeah, just camp, you know, just do it. It's just get out of the house and go somewhere else. If you're lucky enough to have a backyard, you know, don't overthink it. Just camp, just go in the backyard. If you don't have 2 nights for a weekend, which, you know, sometimes we just don't, you know, I think that you should always consider that, you know. And for me, being in the city is just as exciting as being in the wilderness. There's just different kinds of noises. You're going to hear sirens rather than chirps, maybe, you know. If you want to sleep in your own bed, that's fine. Or you can, you know, do the whole thing with the tent and the campfire and everything, you know. And again, this, I have done this once. It's silly, but sometimes it's just a half a day if you just want to go to a park. And I'll just bring a couple of those bags of Mountain House dehydrated, you know, food and a thermos full of hot water, and you sit on the grass and you eat as though you're at the campground.
Well, so the Class B is the perfect adventure vehicle for day trips. And I mean, it could really make day trips much more appealing. Like Stephanie and I are always struggling to find the time to just do cool day trips lately. And if we had something like a B, I think we'd be even more excited to just go for a long day.
It makes it more of an adventure for the kids too, I think. And, you know, I think, Anne, there's going to be it seems to me like there's this recurring theme through your tips, and it's going to be like, don't overthink it. Like you said that, let's not make this too dramatic. Let's keep it simple, because in the end, you know, being more complicated usually doesn't bring us more joy.
Right. And I tend to overcomplicate everything. I mean, I will, I do tend to, you know, I'm one of those people who buys for the life they wish they have and not the life they actually have. So I have to really make an effort to keep things simple. And, but I'm always happier when I do.
All right. So I love number three. Number three might be my favorite because I think it really resonates with me. And, you know, a couple of episodes ago, we were really talking about the things that bring us joy at the campground. And I think this sort of gets to the heart of what I was, you know, trying to share from my personal experience. And you say, you know, be prepared and willing to forego the Instagram experience. I think I feel you on that.
And it's hard. It's hard because a lot of us capture our moments in pictures, but the pictures are a lie. You know, the pictures don't really tell you the full thing. So it's really hard to not try to make a weekend perfect. But I think that, again, I'm happier if I can just get through a weekend and get, you know, one picture of a pancake that's on my camp casual plate, hopefully next to a cup of coffee, then boom, that's okay. That's a good picture for that weekend, you know. I would love to be a person who can, you know, sip a homemade cocktail and roast, you know, fresh food over a fire, you know, followed by dessert and a pie iron that's like homemade, you know, pie crust or something with a game of charades. But all of that time, all of that stuff takes time to plan, to prepare, and to clean, you know? And so for me, I have a better time when I don't do that kind of thing.
It's so true. And you know, look, I'm the person who complicates things in that department
everything.
In our family. But I was just like, this is such a bizarre thing to say on the podcast, but I was just cleaning the garage before we were interviewing you and rooting through just piles and piles of camping gear and just a lot of things that we haven't used that we have that I had all these great intentions for using. But I wasn't sad looking at them. I was like, well, we didn't use them because we were just having fun doing something else very simple and we didn't need all this stuff. So that kind of simplicity inspires me. And I keep telling Stephanie, I want to go on a trip next summer and not take a single photo, not do a single Instagram post, you know? And I think that you can really relax.
That would be hard.
Oh, and he says that. I wouldn't want to deal with it on the trip. I'd be like,
oh, well, I also have this idea, one picture.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to take a single picture on a camping trip because I just feel like you can relax and unwind more.
That's what Anne said. You know, she's got her pancakes and her coffee picture, and she knows that, you know, she kind of connected with what was like really happiness for that weekend, you know, for her. And so I think that just going forward, especially with this RVFTA community, I wanted to make an effort this season in particular to strip away some of that nonsense, you know, strip away some of that, like that look right. of things out there and say, hey,
or pick one.
Yeah. You know? Pick one that really matters to you. Right. Cause if the food really matters to you, then do it. If it's fun for you and it fulfills you, but if it doesn't, if you're just doing it cause you feel like it makes you a better parent, stop. That's not what makes you a better parent. You know, it's the spending the time with your kids, being right there with them in the moment, listening to them, having great conversations.
Yeah, and there will be another chapter in our lives, Stephanie, where we probably will be RVing without kids. And then we can have like huge, gigantic, elaborate campfire cookouts and meals and everything.
And I will sit down.
I'll do photo sessions.
And I will relax.
Yeah.
So, and what about number four?
Well, I was just going to say some examples of some things that, you know, might make other people cringe if they had to sacrifice them. But there's just when we go camping, sometimes there's no fire at all. Sometimes we don't pull out the awning. We don't go on a hike. I'm afraid to say this in front of this audience, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. I never have fresh coffee when I camp, and I love fresh coffee, but I have instant coffee every single time I go camping, and it's just something that I do.
Don't be scared to say any of that.
There are like some like craft roasted kind of instant coffees out there. We'll talk after the show.
Okay. I would love a link. That'd be great. Sometimes I don't even, if it's Friday, if it's really busy at work, I don't have time to even hook up the hitch at all, So not only does that sometimes mean, no bikes or toys, but sometimes that means no cargo carrier. So then I'm throwing the stuff into the rear dinette section and my son ends up sleeping on the upper bunk with my daughter and they love it. Don't get me wrong. They don't mind at all, but I was just like, oh, I couldn't have done it right this time, And then lastly, it's okay to have simple traditions. Like, we always have hot chocolate for breakfast every morning. The kids look forward to that. And we always do a movie and it's either inside or outside. We just have this little TV I bought used that you can just put on a TV table outside or you can keep it inside and with popcorn, usually microwave popcorn. And we do fizzy water. And so sometimes we'll end up watching something like Planet Earth or Tales of Light or Bear Grylls because we're already outside and we think it's kind of cool, But it's okay to have simple traditions, too. They don't have to be these, elaborate things.
You just inspired me.
Anne is preaching. But she's, yes.
She just inspired me about something bizarre. I want Max and Theo and Wes to watch Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
Because I used to watch
it. You haven't shown the boys?
I'm kind of embarrassed. Can we edit this out? I used to watch it before they were born. He's been around a while now.
Yeah.
I think Max and Theo are perfect for that.
Yeah, they'd probably
that.
Be really into it. I remember those episodes that we used
but also
to watch.
The overall message is also inspiring, not just the Bear Grylls thing.
Yeah.
Like, the simpler you keep it, it doesn't strip the fun away at all. In fact, it could make it more fun.
I know, because everybody's really there present enjoying it, and there's not one person that's running around trying to make everything magic,
And put it to me this way. When have you guys been bored at a campground?
Never.
Yeah, exactly.
Even when it rains, we're totally not bored.
Yeah.
We go outside in the rain. We're never bored at a campground. It doesn't even matter what the weather is.
All right, Anne, we're still in church. You're doing a great job here. What's your next tip for everybody?
I'll bring it home. Okay, so the next one is asking for help. This is hard for me. I tend to be pretty independent. My daughter is not independent. She'll ask anybody for anything, which is cool. And I admire her for it sometimes because I'm a little too proud. But especially at camp, this is not a secret to you guys. Especially at a campground, people love to help out, but your kids love to help too. If I can just give them a job, and usually if you just tell them ahead of time, not only do they do a great job, they usually have fun. And I know I have fun when it's all done for me. There's plenty of things that they can do, setting up tables, chairs, tents. They can plug in the electrical cord. They're safe doing that. And they're proud of it. And we get to be together more and we get to play more.
I think that's a great tip because kids need to understand you're a team, right? It doesn't matter how many people are on that team. It doesn't matter how many adults, how many kids. It's really about creating that idea of a team. And our boys most often do respond to that when we kind of like coach them like this, like, hey, we're all in this and we all have jobs and we're all going to work together and have a good time. They usually respond to that.
Yeah, it's definitely, not perfect science.
Yeah, not every time.
Not every time.
Everybody might not be behaving perfectly, but at the end of the day, you could still get that victory. In this case, that great camping weekend.
That's an excellent point. That's right. Because the goal is that we will be together and we're going to support each other.
All right. And do you have any more tips for everybody before we close out this amazing episode?
Sure. So the last tip, this is going to be maybe the controversial one, but just prepare to have a worse time than your kids are having. Just know that going in. And some of my camping trips are the worst memories of my entire life. I thought I was a horrible parent. I hated certain minutes of it, especially Hurricane Irma. That wasn't supposed to be a camping trip. I remember, the thoughts of losing our home and maybe there's not going to be gas on the highway. And I was already negative and leave at work, and I was freaked out. But my kids, they remember floating down the river in Itchituckney. They remember these people in Alabama coming by our campsite in Blue Springs Park to give us care packages because we were them refugees from Florida. They remember this golden peanut that was across the street from the Olive Garden. They remember spinning in the hammock for 3 hours without me telling them to stop because they kept screaming and hurting each other. And they remember limitless movies on their tablets while we were stuck in 8 hours of traffic. I mean, they're awesome. And it's okay to have a bad time. And because I look back and they had a great time. And I feel proud of myself for that.
Isn't that parenting in general, though? Is that we want to create this safe environment, and you know, maybe we can make it magical sometimes. Maybe we're just trying to keep them safe and warm and happy, and we might not always be happy doing it. But that's what we do as parents, and we should all be proud of ourselves for making that happen, right? So in that sense, that was a great trip.
Well, Anne, you have not only done amazing things like that for your kids, but you've also really inspired other people too. I've been, wanting you to tell your story on our show for a long time now, because I just think that you're an incredibly special person with a great message, that people need to hear, that, your circumstances don't have to be ideal for RVing to be a really phenomenal family experience, or rather your circumstances don't have to be cookie cutter either. So thank you for coming on the show. And I know that other people are going to be as inspired as I was.
Bonus content.
Oh bonus gosh, content. I forgot.
I didn't know. No. Anne said she had gear for us. Jeremy's not going to forget.
Jeremy. Oh, I'm sorry. Good. Okay. Anne, because she goes above and beyond, has a couple of pieces of gear that she wanted to throw in on this episode, and I almost cut her off. No good, Stephanie. Let's go, Anne. What do you got for us?
That's okay. But thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate that. Those were kind words, and I'm very proud to be a part of your community, and thank you guys for doing what you do. So stuff, right? There's certain stuff. There's a lot of stuff I bought that I regret, and there's a lot of stuff I bought that I think is cool. And so the three things I wanted to mention are the solo stove. Have you guys seen those?
I don't think so. I mean, like the BioLite type stove? No, that's different.
No, it's called, that's the brand. It's called Solo Stove. I'm afraid to tell you about it.
Oh, I have heard of Solo Stoves. Yes. Tell us though.
Okay. It's sensational. And it was on, I've seen it everywhere. And I'm just really not great at making a fire. I bought the hatchet you recommended. I did all the stuff. I've gotten help from others, but making a fire can be kind of stressful because you can't leave a fire unattended. So if your kids run off, you have to choose, So the Solo Stove is this little stove. I can get it running in seconds, and I can put it away in seconds. I don't have to get a camping ring or a little fire ring from the campground. I can just bring it anywhere. It's tiny. It fits. You can cook on it, and it is one of the best investments in camping.
So you can also use it as like a little campfire, you mean? You could use it as a stove or just to kind of warm up and sit around at night?
It's called a Solo Stove, but it is a campfire, and you can get them in various sizes. You can get the backpacking one. I got the one that's kind of geared for the 2 to 4 people range. It's awesome.
And it's a propane thing? Like it runs off propane or?
No, it runs on sticks. So I bring some backwood with me, and I bring some tinder with me, and sometimes the kids and I'll just for fun, make those paraffin things with egg crates, out of the lint from our dryer. But, you just chop up some wood and put it in there, and it's a perfectly decent fire. And the thing is built to aerate the fire perfectly, so you can't mess it up.
You just blew my mind, though, because like the solo, that situation that you just painted of, if you're a solo parent camping with kids, like I wouldn't have a campfire for that reason you mentioned, because if somebody shoots off, then I'm leaving the campfire. So either the product you just recommended or just even one of those propane fire pits would be awesome for the solo parent, because you just shut it off and turn it back on.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. I don't consider the propane one because I don't think I'd be able to fit it anywhere.
Good point. Yeah, they're a little bit bigger. Yeah.
All right. What are your other two items? I think we had two more, right?
Yeah, I love my little induction cooktop. I mean, we're pretty much always at a campground. We're not boondocking, especially not in our 23-year-old van here. So the induction cooktop is something I can get water boiling in like 5 minutes. I use my cast iron with it. I rarely, we don't really take hot showers and, there's no indoor shower in our rig at all. There's only an outdoor shower and, I can wash dishes with cold water. So I really never use the liquid propane in my RV at all. It works. It's certified. It's fine. But with the induction cooktop, I just pull it out. I can cook everything instantly and then put it away.
All right. And what else?
I have the Apple connector. So it's this little thing that attaches to my phone and then plugs into the HDMI cable that goes to my television. So I just download movies and TV shows on Amazon Prime before I go on a trip. And it's, you know, it's very tiny, which is key for storage. And it gives us access to the whole world without having to worry about wireless or worry about hooking up the cable to the RV and taking that precious time away from our weekend.
Smart, smart lady. Absolutely. I love the message of keeping it easy, keeping it simple, being true to what you guys want to accomplish as a family when you take these camping trips. And thanks for coming on, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
Oh, you'll be back on.
Thanks, guys.
You'll be back on.
All right, we'll see you at the campground.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Anne. It was a pleasure. Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a huge thank you to Anne Kennedy, and a huge thank you to Jeremy for remembering that she had gear to recommend at the end when Stephanie just
saved the day,
completely forgot and wanted to blow
saved
right past that. So it's time for our RVFTA news roundup, and this week it is sponsored by our friends at Jayco, and they make toy haulers.
Whether you're ready for adventure or just need extra storage space, Jayco's new 2019 Talon Platinum toy hauler has something for everyone. This feature-packed toy hauler offers farmhouse white hardwood cabinetry, J-Smart lighting, stainless steel appliances, and an all-around residential feel. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right, Jeremy just finished two RV show weekends in a row, Richmond, Virginia, and Atlantic City. Thank you so much to all the podcast listeners who came out and said hello. It really does make my day. Now, Stephanie's got a run of shows coming up. So where are you going to be?
Yeah, so my last two shows were in the home stretch. The last two shows are Virginia Beach. I think it's called the Hampton Roads Show, and the Springfield, Illinois RV show. So make sure you head over to gsevents.com, and there you'll see all of the shows that are left over. Even if they're ones that we're not going to be at, you might be interested in going, and they'll have all of the individual show information like parking, tickets, blah, blah, blah. So you'll want to go there.
If you're going to the Virginia Beach show and you already went to the Richmond show, so you saw me at Richmond, and then you're going to see Stephanie at Virginia Beach, please comment on the forum and just let us know who gives the better seminars.
Or don't do that, because we're all about peace and love here at RVFTA, non-conflict and competition. But we have to remind ourselves.
That is such a lie.
I know. Did you see? I was laughing as I said it because I know it was so ridiculous. Now, make sure also, if you're hearing the beginning opening of all of these episodes, thank you so much to all the people that have called in on our voicemail line. Make sure that you give us a call. You leave us a message telling us about your why. We have been loving hearing your voices from out there in the RVFTA community, and we're excited to hear more. You can actually go to our RVFTA Facebook group. The pinned post up at the top has our voicemail number in it.
And a big thank you to Jill Avery for her message this week. Thank you so much for calling in and leaving us that really nice message.
All right. If you are buying a new RV this show shopping season, make sure you get our stock up list. It's pretty good. And it's got the basics, but then also the extras. And you can kind of decide, you know, what it is that you need. You can go to rvfta.com/subscribe-here, and you'll get the stock up list there that you can download.
And Stephanie has a great kind of hidden page on our website right now. It's rvfta.com/resources. You can't find it any other way but going directly to that page right now.
We'll eventually, for our RV show audience. Yeah, I built it for that.
It's a secret page on rvfta.com, and it's packed with all kinds of free PDFs and resources.
It is. It's a good collection there that we'll definitely put in the menu in the future, whatever. But right now, I made it for the RV show audience.
Well, not anymore.
But
everyone
now
knows.
It's out there and it's in the world. All right, everybody. We'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.